Welcome to Conversations in Equine Science. My name is Kate Acton and I'm joined by Nancy McLean, and this is the podcast where we take equine research and try and make it accessible to horse owners and enthusiasts alike. Remember that with each topic we discuss, it's important to get professional advice before implementing any of the strategies.
This week, I'm doing a solo episode as Kate is busy working on some of her PhD projects, but she will return next week. So I thought this would be a great time to do a history episode. A listener, Stacy, emailed me about my love for fillies and mares. Now, I've known Stacy since the late 90s, so close to almost 30 years. You know, she's heard me talk about my runners, my brood mares, and even my retired girls. And now she hears me talk about my opinionated Welsh pony, who's also a mare. So, you know, I've often referred to the Bell mare in some of my lectures, and you know, a lot of people have never heard that term before. So the Bell mare started at about the 1800s when people started using pack animals to head out west. Prospectors in the mid-1800s started prospecting for gold, and they would use a Bell mare. So it is often said that it takes a savvy mare to lead a pack. And when pack horses, donkeys, or mules were on these long trips, the cowboy or the pack leader would choose a very smart dominant mare to lead the pack trains of equines. The mare chosen was called a Bell mare, and she was not usually ridden, but instead used as a guide horse to keep the other horses and mules in line. Now, a bell would be placed around the mare's neck, and she would be given the freedom to lead, and the other pack animals would follow the sound of her bell. This freed up the handler's hands rather than having to hold on to a lead rope and wrestle his animals through brush, rough terrain, the mountains, wherever they were going. And they even used these during the Civil War to carry their supplies as well. The land was big, it was open, and pack trains of horses or mules were a very common sight, especially in the cavalry. So these Bell mares would naturally lead the horses and mules following behind them. This also allowed the men to explore and still know where their pack train was by the sound of that lead mare's bell. The idea of using a Bell mare caught on, and packers found out quickly that traveling long distances or through rough terrain was much easier when just using a Bell mare. The packer could also rest and not worry about his pack team wandering off, since they would not leave that lead mare. Later on during World War I and even a little bit into World War II, Bell mares were used to lead the pack mules and horses off the ships at their destination overseas. So the mules were known as Bell Sharps, who were trained to follow the sound of the bell on the lead horse, which was always a mare. It was said that mules naturally refer to the horses as their superiors in the equine world, and the Bell mare was dominant over most geldings. A soldier during World War I and even into World War II would often ride that Bell mare, and as she walked, the sound of the bell around her neck would reassure the mules following behind her, even if they couldn't see her because of smoke or chaos that was going on around them. It was also noted that if a Bel Mare was killed during a war, you would often see all the pack mules grieving as they had lost their leader. Now, I had never heard the term Bel Mare before until I read Sherry Grunska's book, which is a 365-day point in history. Every day, there's a new historical fact highlighted in her book. And it's just really a fun read. It brings out things about horses I didn't even know they were used for. And how we started this to make these points in history on this podcast is because I had read in Sherry's book about the treadmill, and it was first used to develop a train. So the steam engine followed the horse treadmill. The horses, usually draft horses, would be on the treadmill powering it, and they would use one or two. And by their use of the treadmill, it generated enough power to drive that train up to about 20 miles per hour, which is really impressive. So I had never heard that before until I read Sherry's book. So the name of her book, and it is on Kindle Unlimited if you're a member of that, it's called And on the Sixth Day God Created the Horse, and just a wonderful read. So anyway, I decided to look up some research to see if it's true that mules and donkeys would follow horses and refer to them before, you know, before following one of their own kind of conspecifics or their own breed. So anyway, let's look into the research. I also have another paper to kind of critique on the attributes of mares and what makes them such good leaders. So anyway, let's get into the research now. The first paper I want to review is titled Social Relations in a Mixed Group of Mules, Ponies, and Donkeys Reflect Differences in Equid Types. Now, this is by Leanne Props, Faith Burden, and Britta Osthaus. It was carried out at the Donkey Sanctuary, Axnaller Farm in Dorset, the United Kingdom. And what they did was they took 16 animals, 4 mules, 4 donkeys, and 7 ponies and 1 horse. And they did 70 hours of observations. Now, the affiliations were found to be strongly correlated with equid types. So they were joining up, mules would join up with mules, donkeys with donkeys, the horses and ponies, they were tending to stick together more. But in the dominance hierarchy of the group, the ponies or horse occupied the top rank. So mules occupied the middle rank and the donkeys occupied the lowest rank. So even though there were some small ponies there, about 9.2 hands high, there were 2 of them, they were considerably smaller than the mules and donkeys, yet they were dominant over most of them. So this is kind of confirming that mules and donkeys defer to horses, or as Sherry's book says, refer to horses to lead them. So that would go right along with the Bel Mare leading the pack animals out into the mountains or the plains and having those animals follow them. The second paper that I wanted to look at is called or titled Female Horses Are More Socially Dependent Than Geldings Kept in Riding Clubs. Now, this is by Alexandra Gorecki Brusta et al. It's a 2022 paper. And what's interesting about this paper is they took 24 leisure horses, 7 mares, 17 geldings, and they used a two-choice test. So they isolated the mare, and then they gave the choice for the mare to have a companion or have a treat. And they put these carrots in a bucket and they would shake it. And the mare, or the gelding too, would have to make a choice between the companion or the treats. That's an interesting result, is that the mares always went for the companion, and then the geldings went for the treat. This whole paper, I think the conclusion was that mares were much more concerned about their conspecifics or their companions, and then getting a food reward. And some of these mares actually were, they moved more, they became aroused, and they were very reactive and dominant. So they were vigilant, especially when they were isolated. They were extremely vigilant for the first 30 minutes. So this kind of goes along why the bell mare was able to be such a leader. And I know there's individual differences where you may have a gelding that is that way as well. But for the most part, these two papers kind of confirm the traits of a mare versus a gelding, and a mare versus mules and donkeys. And I also wanted to point out, Kate and I did an episode, I think it was maybe season one, on the trait differences between mares, geldings, and stallions. And I do believe they could really find no differences when it came to riding horses, but there were small behavioral differences, such as when you went out to catch a horse in a field, the mares were more likely to move away. The geldings were more likely to chew on the lead rope when you were leading them. So there were little nuances of behavior in that paper as well. Now, these two papers that I've just talked about, those were small sample sizes, whether it was, 24, and then the first one was just 16. I think Kate Fenner's research, which is the mare, gelding, and stallion research, it had over 1,200 horses in that study. I thought it was interesting to take a point in history and find current research. And I don't know, I think mares do make good leaders. I think you can have geldings that in a herd, herd mates make a difference as well. So maybe on the pack trains, we don't know if maybe there were a few troublemaker or rogue donkeys that wanted to get up in front, and those animals were just removed. So, but anyway, there you go, guys, your first point in history episode. I hope you've enjoyed it, and I'll be back next week with Kate, and we'll be discussing a research paper. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.